Revelation chapter 2, we're studying the first of the Lord Jesus' letters to the seven different congregations, and we've got near the end of this first letter, and we're going to read here in Revelation 2, near the end of this first letter, a saying that the Lord Jesus will then say to every one of the congregations. And so we'll work on that together this evening. It's about our ear and having an ear and hearing. Revelation chapter 2, I'll start reading at verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We're going to do some survey work through the Bible about this matter of the ear and hearing, starting at Deuteronomy chapter 29. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The fifth book of the first five, the fifth book of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomos, second law, a second announcing of God's law to the generation that weren't born yet or were children at the time of the Exodus and have now been in the wilderness, and they're about to enter the promised land, and Moses is preaching God's law to them. And I want to show you in this first passage we're going to read in Deuteronomy 29, that we, sinful man, each of us, naturally, as he comes into this world, does not have ears to hear the word of God if God has not given them. Deuteronomy 29, I'll start in verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Okay? The Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear. Now, physically, as to the body, every one of those people had a heart. Every one of those people, or almost all, had eyes and could see physically. All or almost every one of those people had ears physically and could hear. But in another sense, besides physical, Moses says that these people, God has not given them ears to hear. As we go farther, we'll encounter this, you know, said again and in some slightly different ways. The main idea is that as to people truly repenting, turning away from all idol worship and all reliance on anything else, turning away from sin to follow the one true God. And as to faith, really trusting in God alone, depending on Him entirely. As to that, the people do not have that unless God gives it to them. And put in these terms, their heart doesn't perceive, their eyes don't see, their ears don't hear, until God gives that. They can see miracles happen. They can experience, they can even be part of those miracles. They can cross the Red Sea on dry land. And yet if God doesn't give it, it's like they see that, but then again, in another sense, they don't see it. They don't see it in the sense of it causing them to repent and believe. Job chapter 33. Is Job before Psalms and Proverbs or after? Before. Job chapter 33. I'm going to show you in a couple of places how the Bible teaches us that whereas we sinners, as we come into this world, we do not have ears to hear. God is merciful, and He gives sinners ears to hear, or He opens their ears. Job chapter 33, and I'll start reading at verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Let's see. Let's get some different versions of the Bible read. Alex, is that New King James you're looking at? Would you read us that same verse aloud? Yes. Verse 14, please.
For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it.
Thad, I believe you've got the CSV in front of you. Would you read us that aloud? Just a minute. In a minute, we'll be ready. Avery, you've got the PSV in front of you. Would you read us that aloud, verse 14?
For God speaks in one way, and in two, and the man does not.
All right, Dad, let's hear CSV. All right, Sherman. Okay, so, you see, all those are kind of saying the same thing in a different way. It's not that God doesn't speak, you know, through Moses, the other prophets, the Bible as it's written down. God does speak, and it's not that He speaks only once. You know, He speaks to us and speaks again. But like I was just saying, you know, like we were just reading from Deuteronomy, people come sinful into this world, and they can hear the very voice of God say the Ten Commandments, and they don't really hear. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. But what does God do then? In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then He openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life by perishing by the sword. See that? The person doesn't have ears to hear. God speaks again, person doesn't perceive it. But then at some time, even maybe at night while he's sleeping, God opens his ears. And so then the person does perceive. He see in verse 17, man has a purpose, and it's a sinful purpose. It's a purpose all full of pride. But God, when he opens that person's ears, causes him to turn from it. I think I'm about to sneeze. Maybe not. Yep. Excuse me. And so then that person has been, he's been hearing the word of God. Don't do that sinful thing. You know, worship the Lord your God only. Love God, love your neighbor. He's been hearing that, but doesn't care about it. And then God, sometime, does something to him. Opens his ears. And now he hears. And he repents. He turns from his sinful purpose. He's no longer driven by pride, but humbles himself before the Lord. And God, in that way, saves him. Would any of you brothers like to comment on this thus far? Would you like to say anything about what you're hearing, help explain it, or ask a question, or testify to it, or anything like that? Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I'm still talking about this heading. God is merciful and opens the sinner's ears to hear his word. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. So, here's the case of somebody who is still in the natural state in which he came into this world. He's told, bring your sin offering, hand it to the priest at the gate of the courtyard of the tabernacle. The priest will kill it, blood will be sprinkled. You offer this offering to God, and the person hears that with his physical ears. He hears it. And he says, oh, okay, that's what God wants me to do. Okay, I'll do it. So, he brings his offering, hands it over to the priest, has it killed on the appointed day and the appointed time, and sprinkles the blood and all that, and he goes away from the tabernacle, thinking, man, I'm in good with God. I've done what he said. And then he goes and he's hateful to his wife, hateful to his kids, tries to cheat people in business, and covets his neighbor's things in his heart. You see, that person's ears are not opened. He can only hear carnally. He can only hear the sounds and only think the thoughts. But spiritually, his eyes, his ears are closed. But, really, that's not what God wants. He doesn't want somebody to just come and offer the required offerings without repentance, without faith. But then, God being merciful, he opens people's ears to where when they hear that, bring the required sin offering, you know, shed the blood, he thinks, oh, sin, my sin. I'm a sinner. I deserve death. There's got to be blood shed in order for me to be forgiven. There has to be blood as a substitute. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And as he offers his sacrifice, his ears are open. He's repenting and he is believing. Okay, because God's merciful. He does open sinners' ears to hear his word spiritually. Before I go on to the next heading, would any of you brothers like to help exhort according to that or ask anything along those lines? Isaiah chapter 6. You know God worked with Israel. The things recorded about God's dealings with Israel really happened. They are historical record. But they also paint a big picture. And what's true of Israel as sinners before God, it's really the same thing with all mankind. It's not that the Jews were such terrible sinners and everybody else was fine. No, it's the Jews are such terrible sinners, and they just painted it. They just showed what terrible sinners everybody is. And so, in God's dealings with Israel, it was His will that their ears be opened to His word, so they repent and believe in Him. But they didn't want their ears opened. They heard the word of the Lord, and they just closed their ears and kept them closed. Well, sinners who close their ears to the word of God may find that God sentences them to having closed ears. You know, God would never take somebody innocent of any wrongdoing, who was loving Him with all his heart and worshiping Him only, and then close his ears to His word. But God does do this. People who, because of their sin, have their ears closed to His word, and they will not repent, they will not believe, He may sentence them to always having their ears be closed. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And He said, "Go and tell this people," that is Israel, sinning, ears closed, hearts hard, and they will not repent, "Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat or dull, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Then said I, "Lord, how long?" And He answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." With some sinners, God ordains that even at the preaching of His word, their ears become heavy so that they cannot hear with understanding. Yet even when He does this, He's merciful to some, verse 13, a tenth. He's going to empty the land of Israel of its inhabitants. And yet, He's going to show mercy to one out of ten, to a tenth. And notice in verse 10, what happens if people do hear with their ears? Put three ways: see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. What happens then? They convert. They are converted. They go from being closed-eared sinners to open-eared obedient servants. They are converted. And what ails them is, see at the end of verse 10, is healed. They are healed. If they were to have their ears open to where they heard with understanding, they would convert or be converted and be healed. Okay, so the things I'm putting to you as we survey this concept through the Bible: sinful man naturally does not have ears to hear the word of God if God hasn't given it to him. to have those ears. God is merciful, and he does open sinners' ears to hear his word. But sinners whose ears remain closed to the word of God may find that God judicially closes them, sentenced them to have closed. But even as that's expressed in the Bible, the good news, the gospel is also expressed with it. Those who do have ears to hear and hear, they convert and God heals them. Isaiah chapter 32. When God had caused, you know, first the Assyrians, then the Babylonians to come and carry away Israel into captivity, God promised to restore Israel after their captivity. Which promise was partially fulfilled in the return of the people to the land of Palestine, Palestine, after the land of Canaan, after the Babylonian captivity, but then finds its true fulfillment in the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to sinners under the new covenant. Isaiah 32, starting at verse 1, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment," or justice. "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken." There's going to be a time of restoration. It's going to come primarily through a man. There were men God blessed in the time of the return from exile, but of course the ultimate fulfillment of that is in Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. More of this prophecy that is put in terms of Israel returning out of Babylonian captivity and out of being scattered all around the world, coming back to the promised land. But that language being only a pointer to the great spiritual fulfillment of this in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 35, starting in verse 1. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." Hear that? "The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Now, the Lord Jesus showed us when he physically, literally opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, made the lame to walk, showed that he was ushering in the fulfillment of these promises. And you see, there's a promise that the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. We've already learned long ago, hundreds of years before, as we just read in Deuteronomy, sinful people's ears are going to be deaf to spiritual truth unless and until God opens them. And here's this prophecy that in this great time of renewal, deaf ears will be opened, will be unstopped. And then there's these wonderful promises of all this good that's going to be for those whose ears are unstopped. They're going to come to Zion with songs. They're going to have everlasting joy. They're going to have gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 55. Would any of you brothers like to ask something or add something at this point about these promised blessings having to do with the ears being opened? Andrew, isn't what we just read a line in Messiah? I thought that was ringing in my head. Now, this call from the Lord for sinners to hear with unstopped ears, it goes out, that call goes out to everyone. It goes out generally. It goes out to everybody here, every one of you listening. It goes out to you as well as to everybody. Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone. I checked the different translations. I think everybody's Bible says that same thing. Everyone. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, or why, do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently. Listen carefully. Hear well. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Isn't that interesting? Incline your ear to me. Let me see if we can all picture that. If you realized you were being spoken to, and maybe the person were speaking quietly or something like that, what would you do? Can you act that out with your own body? I know that the stereotypical thing is to go like this, right? You're wanting to hear something that maybe is faint or far off. I know, I hear better out of one ear than the other. And so sometimes when I'm lying in bed with one ear on my pillow and Mrs. Young says something, if I realize she's spoken, but I haven't heard it that well, I think it's this ear that hears better. And I go like this. I say, what? Like that. Incline your ear. There's a voice speaking and you're going to miss it if you don't give it your attention. Incline your ear to hear. And look what's going to happen if you do hear. Verse 3. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And this person in whom the sure mercies of David are going to come is going to be the son of David, Jesus Christ. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Repentance. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, the call to hear is to everyone, everyone that thirsts. Now, we've already read in the Bible that giving the sinner ears to hear is the work of the Lord. Unstopping deaf ears is God's work. But notice here that hearing the word of the Lord also is the action of the sinner, which the Lord bids him to do. He says to everyone, incline your ear and hear. Hearken diligently. Listen carefully. You know, repentance is granted by God. It's a gift. And it's worked inside a person by the Holy Spirit. And yet all men everywhere are commanded to repent. You see, there's nothing wrong, logically, with God saying to you by his prophets, repent, even if there's no way you can repent unless he grants it and works it in you. Those things are perfectly compatible. He says, repent, and you repent as he grants it and works it in you. There's nothing logically incompatible with God saying to you, hear, listen. When you cannot hear or listen without him opening your ears, there's nothing logically incompatible with that. It's perfectly compatible. What is it that you are to do? You are to hear him. And yet, it's his gift to you to work inside you that you hear him. You repent, and as you repent, you praise him for granting that you repent. You hear him, you listen to him, and you understand while giving him the glory for making it to where you could hear and understand. Notice that the promise here, verse 3, life. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And verse 7, at the very end, pardon. The promise for listening, for hearing, for giving ear is you will have life and you'll be pardoned for all the wrong you've done. This call from the Lord for sinners to hear goes out generally to everyone. Ezekiel chapter 12. Would any of you brothers like to chime in and add anything or testify to any of this at this point? Now, back to the subject of actually having ears. You know, you have ears and you can hear. It's true there are people who are deaf, yes, but generally speaking, people can hear. And so, to have ears, which you do, and yet not spiritually to hear the word of the Lord. You have ears, but you don't want to use them to hear the word of the Lord. You want to switch off the connection between your what is it? Your ability to hear. You want to turn off the switch between your sense of hearing and your spirit or your soul. That is wicked rebellion against God. You can picture that even, like, for example, with your boss at work or your parents. You know the boss is saying something, and you're saying, okay, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, but you have no intention of doing anything the boss is saying. You're only nodding your head until the boss leaves. Or your mother is saying something, and you're saying, yeah, okay, mom, yep, yes, ma'am, okay, yes, but you have no intention of doing what she's saying. You're letting the sound waves go in and be processed in your brain, but they are not connected. You're disconnecting them from your will. You see, that is wicked rebellion. Ezekiel 12, 1 and 2. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. Why? For they are a rebellious house. Now, you know, take that in. You have been told Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. Now believe in him and have everlasting life. Okay? You can hear that well enough with your ears. Your brain can understand those words. But when you have ears, but you will not believe what you're hearing. You know, when you're told, you're a sinner. You have rebelled against God in Adam. You've rebelled against God in your own person. What you think is wicked, things that you've said have been wicked, things you have done have been wicked. You have done things wicked today. Now repent. Turn away from those things and follow Jesus Christ. You can hear that well enough. But if you hear it and that's all it is and you do not repent, that is rebellious against God. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. Refusing to hear the word of the Lord. You're told to believe and you won't believe. You're told to repent and you won't repent. It's like stopping up your ears. You could put your fingers in your ears right now if you want to try it. Or maybe you have sometimes put on headphones or foam earplugs. I know that when my sisters and I were kids, if somebody wanted not to hear what somebody else was saying, I can picture one of my sisters telling the other she was supposed to go do some housework. And when she started saying that, the other sister, guessing what she was going to say, went like this, la, 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 right? I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not listening. We can do that, right? Well, refusing to hear the word of the Lord is like doing that. It's like stopping up your ears to God. Except people don't understand that if they stop up their ears to God, he in response will stop up his ears to them. He doesn't literally have ears. But we're also not talking about you literally stopping up your ears either. We're talking about you refusing to hear spiritually, or refusing to hear is obedience. So let's hear about this. Zechariah 7, I'll start reading in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he, God, cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. So when Jerusalem was still standing, and the Babylonian army was threatening them, Jeremiah was preaching that the people should stop worshiping idols and worship only Yahweh, Jehovah, the one true God. And he wrote that, his assistant Baruch wrote that in a scroll and took it to the king. And what did the king do with it? Cut it and threw it in the fire. As a page was read, he cut off that page and threw it in the fire. The people of Jerusalem, God was crying out to them by his prophets like Jeremiah, and they stopped up their ears and did not listen to him. So then, when the Babylonians came and surrounded the city, any of the leaders of Jerusalem who cried out to Jehovah to save them, what did God do? Stopped up his ears. Now, that is just. That is what they deserved. And we don't want to stop up our ears against God and then get what we deserve. Think of what you've heard that the Bible says about the great day of judgment. You know, people will say things like, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? But they stopped up their ears and wouldn't listen to him during this life. So on the day of judgment, he will stop up his ears and not listen to them. This is justice. It's awe-inspiring. You know, that it's very simple, isn't it? You did this to God, he'll do it to you. But it almost makes me shake, almost makes me quake or quiver pondering it. You know, I don't want that for any of you. The idea of one of you ending up like that before God, it's the most terrible thing. I don't want this to be what you have to face. God has caused people to face this. It's been written down so that all these centuries later you can read and hear about it and not stuff up your ears as they did. Before I go on to the next thing, would any of you brothers like to say anything about that? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. All of that happened for our instruction, and it was written down to warn us upon whom the promise of all the ages has come, so that now when we are told these things, we will not stop up our ears like was done in the past. In the preaching of Jesus Christ, sinners are again commanded that he who has ears must hear the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, you know, John the Baptist had come preaching, repent, and Jesus was preaching, repent. And now Jesus is explaining something about John the Baptist. Matthew 11, 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is the Elijah who was to come, which was promised in the book of Malachi. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, it's still the same matter. It's still the same matter. The word of the Lord goes out, and sinful men, if they follow nature, will just close their ears to the word of the Lord. But let it be that you, having ears that can hear, let it be that you hear with them. Matthew chapter 13. Everyone is commanded to hear the word of the Lord. Yet the Lord Jesus knows, and he tells us that he knows, that many people still will not hear it. But he pronounces a blessing on the ears of those who will hear it. We're used to this already in Revelation. You know, blessed is he who reads, and blessed are they who hear, right? Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You do know just how unreasonable it is, just how ludicrous to have these things that God has given you and to have the word of God coming into them and then refuse to take the word of God that you hear and believe it and live by it. How crazy that is. The Lord Jesus is saying the most obvious thing, the very obviousness of it gives power to what he's saying. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And then the Lord Jesus is talking about the nature of his preaching and his parables and everything. And he then relates what's going on then and now to what was prophesied in Isaiah about the people hearing and not believing. Verse 15, this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. When you are hearing the word of God and you're understanding it, Jesus, the Son of God, shed his blood for my sins. You're hearing that with understanding. You're hearing, turn from your wickedness, repent and follow Christ, walk in his steps. You're hearing that and you get it. And you are moved to repent. You know, when you hear, you have left your first love. Repent, or I will come and remove your candlestick from his place. And you think, oh no, and you tremble in fear at that. And you want anything but that. And your heart is to turn from your wickedness, return to the works that you did in your initial zeal for the Lord. When you're hearing, it's a great state of blessedness. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Now, I'm returning to our verse we started at, Revelation 2:7. Remember the prophetical promises that we have encountered in this survey of these verses about ears and hearing and everything. Remember the kind of things that were promised? That those who would hear with their ears would live, would be pardoned, would be converted, would be healed. All those promises that were given prophetically in the Old Covenant scriptures, look how they are all brought together and summed up in what the Lord Jesus promises. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Remember from the Garden of Eden, the initial paradise, guilt in sinning against God, death coming upon them, exile being driven out of paradise, paradise lost, as John Milton called it. And in the exile from Jerusalem, guilt of their sin, death when the Babylonians came upon them, exile being taken away from the land. Well, now look what the Lord Jesus promises. He who has an ear, let him hear. And he who hears, repents. What will he have? Forgiveness. Life. A return to paradise. Of course, a more blessed paradise than Jerusalem was and even than the Garden of Eden was. All of those promises for him who will hear the word of God, all wondrously fulfilled in what the Lord Jesus promises, that you'll be in the paradise of God with the right to eat of the tree of life. Now, would any of you brothers like to help explain that or ask something about that or testify to any of that or anything?
I've been listening to radio adaptations of Twilight Zone episodes, and there's a few themes that seem to come across, you know, when you listen to a bunch of episodes, you notice hang-ups, I guess, you know, right. But one common theme is a fear of death. And people somehow seeking eternal life, I guess, not abuse type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, you know, in Twilight Zone, passion and catch. Like, I listened to one today where this guy's been alive since the time of Cato, I think, the philosopher of Brighton River. And, but you know, he sees all of his friends die, and then he makes his friends, they all die. False love, she died.